All right. Like you said, I'm Susie Matos, and I am Puerto Rican. So once I get going, if I get nervous or I get excited, off I am. So you can, like, or just look at me like, slow down. We have no idea what you're talking about. No, it comes out in English. Just fast English. Fast Bronx English, which is not in the north. Those Bronx people know where we are and know where you are. When he said that, I was like, don't be picking on the Bronx people. I've been saved long enough. It's okay. You safe. Her too. Watch out. Like I said, my name is Susie, and I am the director of New Life for Girls, as well as part of the team of the pastoral team of Crossroads Restoration Church. I am a mom of 10 children, 5 R's, 5 adopted, between 42 and 21. I'm not going to tell you which is which, because I could see my daughter's faces right now. Mom! But between 42 and 21, and you can guess which is which. I have 15 grandchildren, also between 25 and 2. Wow. So my quiver is full. My husband and I used to do evangelism and travel with the choir from New Life. And I remember this sweet old lady came up to me, and she had a word for everybody. And I was really young in my relationship with the Lord, and could be kind of disrespectful too. And she was giving words, and I'm like, yeah, right. Then she called me out, and I was like, oh, that's what I get. And she told me that my quiver would be full. And I was like, as full as it's going to get, because I had 3 kids and I can't have no more. That's about as full as it's getting. And I can just see God just laughing his head off like, girl, you have no idea how I'm going to rock your world. And he did, because none of them are the same. None. I have them from one extreme to the next. One that maybe takes 5 minutes of prayer, and one takes fasting, praying, on my knees, crying out to God, and the whole 9 yards. So they really are very, very different. But it is a joy to be a parent. It is a joy to be in ministry. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's heartbreaking, and sometimes you want to break. I don't know if you know about New Life for Girls, but it is not always hugs and kisses. Sometimes it's, see that door? Use it. Get on out of here. You don't want help. You're in the way. Go. You get tough for the moment, and then when they leave, because you already know what's going to happen, your heart breaks. So it's not always easy. When Terry first asked me to speak, good thing he sent me an email, because on the phone, when I read that email, I thought, has this man lost his mind? You got John Guido, you got John Dean, you got all this, Bill, you have all these, and you asking me? No, he's lost his mind. But because it was an email, I could not express that. So I had to express just what God told me, and that was just a simple yes. And for a long time, I struggled with that, because I've always been kind of intimidated with big dogs. And that's the way I see the men of God in this fellowship. I see them as big dogs. I've never seen myself as a big dog. So I came, I did my message, I studied, and I said, I'm going to do this. And then I listened to all of you, and it was like, okay, I said I'm going to do it. Give me a break. I know I'm not the only one that throws tantrums, so come on. But so last night I go, and I said, Tito, I need sleep. I need to just go to sleep. Typically, I'm up by 7 o'clock, because I have a routine. 7 o'clock I get up, 7:15 I go downstairs to welcome my grandson that I put on the bus, make sure he eats because he has some medical issues that sometimes he's hungry, sometimes he's not, sometimes mommy can feed him, sometimes grandma has to feed him. So you got to stay on, and then I have to have him fed and done before my daughter comes up from her room to go to work because she has a 75-pound dog that will eat his breakfast if he has not eaten it by this point. So I have this routine. So I set my alarm clock, and I said, because I don't have Chris, I don't hear Diesel running around the house, I need an alarm clock. So I get up this morning at 3:33. Because it's so dark, I thought it was time to get up. I looked at that microwave, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Because when you were testifying, you were telling the story, it was like, wow, that's really cool. For you, it was really cool. But I got up, and I said, you know what? I don't know what it is you want from me, but whatever it is, you show me, and you tell me what it is that you want. And I just laid there in bed. Have any of you ever heard of Superbook?
Yes.
Okay. I spent half the night seeing Superbook cartoons. Okay. And I sat there and I'm like, oh, for those who don't know what Superbook is, it's a show that used to come out in the mornings, and that's how I used to do my devotions with my kids because I couldn't get them to stay still. So I put Superbook on it, and we every morning they'd get a Bible story, and that's how I send them off to school. That's for the older ones, the 40 and the 30-year-olds. The younger ones, that's a whole nother story. There was no Superbook for them. But a whole night of Superbook. So this morning I get up and I'm like, why did I have to watch cartoons all night? And every single story was one of a person who became a big dog. It was Joseph, David, Jesus in the temple. And it went on and on and on. And I was like, okay, I gotcha. I got it. So I no longer look at all of y'all as big dogs. I look at you as my peers. Yeah. And I look at you as those who look after us. And now it's my responsibility as you look after us to look after those that God has given to me. So I'm going to do this not as a little pup. That was the wall that had to come down. Now, where he's going to take me from here, I have no idea, and I'm not going to lie, it is a little scary. Yep. Because it's real easy to hide. For me, it's easy to, because I'm married to someone that's like louder than life, it's really easy for me to hide behind him. Yep. It has always been easy. Even in New Life, it's easy to hide in my office because they know better. Don't tread in here without permission. You're not allowed in here. So it's easy to hide, but the hiding days are over.
Hallelujah.
But I do want to share how to stand strong in the face of the weight of ministry. I've been in ministry almost 40 years, and I have experienced so many things, tragedies, good things, bad things, devastating things. And I can't tell you that he wasn't there, because he was there every single time. I have to be honest, we're on a Daniel fast, and I have no gum, no mints, no cough drops, because none of that is in it, so my mouth is so dry. Typically, I preach with cough drops, so my mouth don't get so dry. Back to standing. All right, so I have had like a lot of experiences, and like I said, God has never failed me. And he's never going to fail us. And when you think he's going to fail you, it's because there's a little, or you think he's not, you think he's taking his time, or if you think he's not meeting your need as you're asking him to meet your need, it's not his fault, it's ours. And I know that that's like a real simple message, because we tell that to people that we minister to. But whether you realize it or not, as leaders, we too can fall into that, where we become, because our lives are so ripping and roaring, we're expecting God, because you put us here to rip and roar, so do what you're supposed to do. I want to address what are we supposed to be doing while we're waiting for him to rip and roar. Standing one of the meanings, a couple of the meanings is it's permanent, it's perpetual, it's everlasting, it's continuing, and it's indefinite. So that means standing, there isn't a time period on standing. Standing is just like this. It just stands there. We're just to stand. If you're going to be successful in the ministry, you have to just stand. Stand does not mean you stop everything and we're going to sit here and wait for him to answer our prayers, and we're going to wait until he gives us an answer to what it is that you may be facing. There's so much to ministry. You stand in your spirit. You stand within yourself. You can't be 1 minute. And I learned how to do this. Let me tell you, if you're a mother, you already know how to be a leader. Because we have to do this, no offense, guys, we have to do this every single day of our lives with our kids. We have to stand on the promises that he's given us. I have a grandson that's in the Bloods in the middle of the South Bronx, New York. I have one that went to jail. I'm on a mission trip. I'm having a wonderful time. We're reaching hearts and souls for the Lord. We're giving medicine to the poorest group of people that we ever met. We go back to our hotel room. Somebody from back home decides, let me email Susie a picture of, I won't say his name, of my son in the newspaper because he got arrested. He looked like a madman. He looked like he was crazy. I said, oh my God, what people must be thinking of my boy. He looked nuts. But you know what? I had to stand. There was too much to be done. I was there for a reason. We were there doing something. We had to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit because if God was going to take us in another direction, I could not be here whining and crying for Joseph. He's out. Just for the record, if my kids were here, they would say, Mom, it's no secret, it's Joseph. All of Carroll County would say, Joseph. As a mom, it would be so easy to just go in that room, fall on my knees, and just cry. What did I do? I ain't do nothing wrong. I did not do anything wrong. Joseph did wrong by the decisions that he made. And unfortunately, he paid a big price for it. But God is God, because he's not the same Joseph that went in. So I had to stand because I was in the midst of doing other things. It has nothing to do with just waiting for this thing that's with this weight that's on you, this thing that, because you know what? Your strength is in him. So even no matter how big that monkey is, if that monkey's a gorilla, the strength that God gives you, you can carry it to the next task that he has for you. You have to, because you have authority over that gorilla. Yeah.
That's right.
That whole monkey on my back thing, it's only viable if you give it the authority.
Yes.
If you don't give that monkey the authority, have you ever seen documentaries on monkeys? Mm-hmm. They're like kids. You tell them, go sit down, they go sit down. Go over there, they go over there. They're easy to train.
Yes.
So tell them, get off my back.
Amen.
Hey, if you get them young enough, they are. When they get older.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to stand, and we need to stand not only in what God has promised us, but we need to stand in our spirit. We need to stand strong. When you see strong, when you think of strong, if you're watching TV and you think of strong, you think of people, now I'm going to show my age. You think of people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you think of people like The Rock. You know, that's typically what people see as strong. Wait, you know, I don't watch wrestling, but the wrestlers, when you see them on TV, I think that stuff is so stupid. No offense. So stupid and so fake. But, I'm away here. Come on, jump on me. Right here, smash my face. No, that's fake. That is as fake as it comes. But that's not the strength that he's asking us to stand in. We have to stand knowing that the God that we serve is way more powerful and smarter. He has everything under control. And whatever that thing is that's dragging you down, your children, your ministry, your home, your finances, your spouse, whatever. I shouldn't have said it like that. Our spouses don't drag us down. Get on our nerves sometime, but then don't drag us down. We need to stand strong. You can't waver. If you're going to stand, you can't one day say, okay, I trust God, and he's going to move mountains in my life, and the next day, oh, my God, this thing looks so horrible. Look what's going to happen. I trust God. You can't. Not for his sake, because believe me, he's going to do what he's going to do, whether he wants to or not. He's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do it when he wants to do it. I just noticed I did the Bronx thing. Everybody got that one? The strength is for us, because what happens is we get so consumed in worrying about and being weighed down and just being depressed in our rooms that God can't use us like that. God cannot use us. And when I say depressed in the room, I don't mean you actually go into your room, but you go into the rooms of your heart. Inside, because you're a pastor, because you're a leader, because you're in ministry, you cannot get depressed. Stop lying to yourself. You get depressed in your hearts. And that what happens is that inhibits the ability for God to do what he wants to do through you, because you can't put out what you don't have. If you're in your heart of hearts is consumed by whatever it is maybe going, and I'm telling you, I've been through some stuff. I'm 62 years old. I have been through some stuff, but I cannot give nobody that authority over my life but God, because God is the only one that can see us out of it. He is the only one. He has a plan. You have to trust him, and he's going to see you through it. Even the things that you think are so, your spouse, and I'm telling you, I know for a fact, working with women, children are the hardest things for parents to give to God. No matter how much you remind them, he or her is not yours. You on borrowed time. He gave you that child to raise him the way he wants you to raise, so that he can use, not you, not you. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. And sometimes our church becomes our babies, our ministry becomes our babies, and we have to guard our heart and be careful, because we say, okay, well, no, I'm good with my kids. I give my kids to the Lord every morning. Do you? Do you give your spiritual children to the kids every morning? Your spiritual kids to the Lord every morning? You like that one, right? She keeps notes of all the bloopers we do in our church, but she doesn't know how to do it cool. She just starts laughing. In church, when she does that, she gets so caught up in the laugh. She likes to sit on the floor, right? And she has four little ones, sit on the seats. And she starts laughing and chuckling, and the four little ones go. So now the whole church knows Karen's laughing, even though she's trying to hide in a corner. So we have to stand, and we have to stand strong. One thing that this is like, you know how people are known for certain subjects that they really are adamant about, and they, every place they have an opportunity to, they're going to preach it. This is mine. Identity. When you said that last night, I said, yes! Our identity. Standing strong is not all of it. We need to know our identity. We need to know who we are in Christ. If we don't understand who we are in Christ, and we tell this to our people all the time, take confidence because you're this and you're that, and we just spit out stuff that we've read or we've been taught in seminary or somebody ministered to us, we're quick to. But sometimes in the hoopla of ministry, we forget that. We forget that. Identity was spoken a couple of times, and it was spoken that not being able to, not knowing your identity in Christ, which is true, but also you can know it, but not move in it.
Yes, that's right.
And unfortunately, us as ministers, we have a tendency to know some stuff, but not move in it. And if you're going to survive in ministry, you better know your stuff and live it. Because the whole purpose of ministry is for valley experiences. Mountaintop experiences, that's church, that's a retreat. Ministry is valley. That's where you're at, that's where you're going to stay, that's where you belong. Because it's at that place in their worst. Is where you see. I work in an introduction center. And an introduction center is when they come straight off the street. I get them as raw can be. I mean raw. I got some crazies.
Yeah.
I really do. I really do. And some of the stuff that these poor girls have been taught, some of the stuff that they've experienced, you have to know who you are. You have to be confident. If you're not confident, these girls will chew you up. They will chew you up and have you convinced that you should actually do it their way. And some of my junior staff, it works sometimes. And I'll walk in there and everybody's playing cards and eating snacks. It's like, hello, this is study hall. What are we doing here? They got talked into it. Because they were not confident enough to know the spiritual responsibility they have for these girls. It's not just keeping the duty. It's not just keeping the schedule. There's a spiritual responsibility. And it's the same thing with all of us in our ministries. We have a spiritual responsibility, but we cannot do it if we don't know who we are. If we have been taught, look, I've been to all kind of, 40 years in the Lord, believe me, I've been to retreats, I've been to conferences, I've been to seminary, I've been to Bible college, all of it, which is all good. Please do not take me the wrong way. It's all good. But all of that, just to have it all up in here, just makes me a big head. Really, think about it. It's just, and it's muffled, and it's just in there because it's not making any sense. It's not being used. So what's the point? That's like someone who goes to medical school and then becomes a lawyer. What was the point of? So you have to know exactly who you are, not so much who they are. It's real easy to tell them who they are because the Word of God tells us who they are, and the Word of God tells us where He's going to take them, and the Word of God tells us a whole lot about them. But who are we? Who are we? Because if you are hurting or if you are not sure who you are, that's what you're going to minister. You can only minister what's in you. So what you're going to do is you're just going to feed her, you're going to feed him, you're going to feed, and you're going to have this movement of people with absolutely no real knowledge of who they are in Christ and with no power because there's no confidence in them because they don't know who they are. So you need to know, if you're going to minister to somebody, you need to know who you are. You need to know your ID. I have on my phone, there's this girl, this little girl, and she's fixing her crown. So when every time I open my phone, I know who I am. Even when the things are not going so great, I know who I am. When I got that article, I closed my iPad, I put it away, and I said, well, God, you got to do what you got to do with him. I got to do what you told me to do here. Because this was my mission. This is what God has sent me to do. And this is what I was going to do. So I straightened up my crown and I moved. That's not always easy. You not only have to know who you are, you have to also know your limitations. We are made in the image of God, but we're not God in that sense. But as leaders, sometimes we have this entitlement because, again, but this time the crown is cocked to the side. Well, I'm the queen of a mighty king, so I'm going to take this shortcut and I'm going to do this way because that'll benefit these people. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't get caught up in the rush and having to do all these stuff. It's not a bad thing. It's a bad thing because it's not what God wants, but it's a good thing because it's out of love. With the things that even the mistakes we do them out of love. We just get caught up. You have to know who you are in Christ so you cannot get caught up into those things. When people come to you, you don't have an answer, you don't have an answer. I love the thing about the monkey. I love that thing. Nope. No, we did not get us in this. So we are not going to get ourselves out of it. I tell that to my kids all the time, especially my boys. One's 24, one's 21, always. Can we? No. 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 Mm-mm. No, you're not using my car. I didn't tell you to go out in an ice storm. No, you're not using my car. No, your problem doesn't become mine. Your disobedience doesn't become mine. I work hard every morning to keep my relationship with the Lord intact. So if I'm going to work on it, let's work on it together. I'll teach you how to keep yours intact. But no, we're not Mm-mm, that ain't happening. There has to be a certain amount of selfishness, and the selfishness has to come with your relationship with God. How important is your relationship? Are you willing to let people pick at it and pick at it and pick at it and pick? Because people will. They don't know no better. They don't know no better. And when you get your feelings hurt because they picked at it, come on, grow up. That's ministry. They were there to pick at us. It's the truth. It's the truth. I've had some of my staff come in the office and say, this girl told me she's not going to study hall. I said, really? Really? You're lucky she didn't punch you in the face. Come on, what are you expecting from? You're telling girls who just came off the streets, some of them have just kicked drugs, come on, let's study for an hour. What do they know about studying? Right. Study what? You're going to throw a book in front of them that they've never seen in their life. Look, I was a grand PK. My grandfather was a preacher's kid. When I went through the program and they told me, all right, study hall, and all these girls were sitting flipping through their Bibles, and I started my Bible. They said, oh, you have to read your Bible every day. You have to read your Bible. My grandfather was Baptist, so it wasn't real. Wasn't all that. They would tell me, oh, you have to read your Bible every day. You have to read your Bible. I would sit there, and I really tried to start the Bible from Genesis. I thought that's what it's supposed to do. Where do you start a book? From the beginning. I said, oh, my God, this is so boring. What has this got to do with what I'm going through? I am in a drug program. What has all of that got to do with any of it? It's the same thing with the girls. It's the same thing with people that first come. You know, when the girls are, when they're approaching junior staff, they go to introduction centers and they work with the girls. And they really mean well, but they are like so spiritual. They'll tell the girls will come and say, you know, I really got a bad letter from my mom. She's not going to bring my daughter. Oh, pray about it. What does that girl know about praying? Yeah. Amen. She just walked through the door. Yeah. But so what you're telling her is shut up. Yeah. That's right. In a very polite way, you're telling her to shut up. But if you know who you are in Christ, then you know how to address that. Then you know how to bring, you can't make the mom bring the kid. That part, there's nothing we could do about that. But you can at least give the girl an assurance that she now knows that she can put her hope and her trust into this. Your mom is very disappointed. You know, and you go through the whole thing. Come on, you just walk through these doors. You got to give your family time. Yes. Because these girls, they come, their family is very disappointed. You got to give them time. Some of them don't see the fruit of that until their graduation. You have to get, but if you don't know what you're talking about, or if you think you know more than someone else, then that creates the problem. Yes. Then that becomes not only a weight that you're going to have to bear eventually because you're responsible for them, but a weight that person will have to bear. So we cannot, first of all, you cannot talk out the side of your face. If you really don't know what you're talking about, and you have to be really, really careful. First of all, being a minister of the gospel is not a fad. It's not a style. It's not, you know, oh snap, all the pastors are doing this. Come on, let's go. No, it's not that. You have to know who you are in Christ because he has a purpose for your church. He has a purpose for your church. He has a purpose for your church. Is it the same purpose for mine? No, not at all. I remember when God first started showing us that we were going to be pastors, it was like, look at me. Don't like wearing dresses. I'm not wearing a bun. I don't like a whole lot of kids. And I don't sing. So you cannot be talking about me. There's no way you're talking about me. But I didn't fit the mold because in my mind, I thought of what he was asking of me in the traditional sense. Instead of seeing that God was calling us to a different type of church to minister to a different type of people. We had one of our kids in the church once it was all painted, and we were like really young and really poor, so it didn't look like it looks right now. It was like raw, but it was clean. So one of the kids was looking and he said, why do we get our church in the middle of the ghetto? It's like, dude, you came from the ghetto. Don't forget yourself. So it has been very challenging because it's not traditional. But if you turn away for a moment and you begin to identify yourself with other things and other people and begin to compare yourself with other churches, which is what I did at the very beginning, because I didn't meet that Carroll County pastor's wife. First of all, the wives don't say nothing. I'm far from quiet. I'm going to say something. And in the South, women just really aren't active in ministry. Not again, because that's not me. So I had to stay focused, and I had to stand and wait to see what he was, because I only knew one thing. I knew my grandmother, which I knew I was never going to be a pastor's wife like that. No, I love my grandmother to bits. She was an awesome woman. But as a pastor's wife, I wasn't doing that. Nope. And then I began to look around me, and then I began to see I cannot measure what he's trying to do in us with what's going on around, because we're just not the same. We come from different backgrounds. Tito and I went to seminary way after we were in ministry. We did a little backwards. Most people go to seminary, and then Tito and I had children way before we were married. So we were not traditional in any way, shape, or form. So I had to trust who God was making me. But I had to be careful, too. Because that could be very exciting when you begin to see lives changing and all these kids growing up and growing in the Lord. And it can be exciting, but you have to stay guarded that you do not identify. Your identity is in him, is not with him. Yeah. You guys are not.
That's right.
You're not buds. Plain and simple. He's your father. And those of you that are fathers, I'm sure you don't want your kids being your bud either. I'm not talking about being friends and all that. Of course, you do stuff with your kids. But I'm talking about where they think they're your equal. Now, I'm going to tell you this story, and you may never like me again after this. But I'm going to tell you this story anyway about people thinking they're your equal. My husband, with his sweet little instigating self, put it in my daughter's head, because before I got saved, I was a gangster. He put in her head that if I was not saved, that she could take me. Oh, yeah. And he kept teasing her. And one day, she came up to me, punched her right in the chest. I sure did. I always told my daughters, always, once they became as big as me, I always told them, if you don't want to go woman to woman, watch your boundaries. If you don't want to go woman to woman, because you don't know who you're messing with. She was our challenger anyway. She would challenge anybody. She said, Mom! One time. You cannot challenge me. And that's the same thing. If you don't want to get punched in the chest because you think you're his peer, you need to understand who you are and your limitations. Because what gets us in trouble is when we become buddies and we don't know our limitations. And the next thing you know, we are into things that, as ministers of the gospel, we should not be in. And whether you realize it or not, it is more devastating for us to get in trouble than it is for the people we're working with. Because it's like a domino effect. The disappointment and the just the pain that it causes people around you, because remember, people are just people. They're so young, and they trust you because you trust Jesus. When they're really young in their relationship, they've not grown to that place yet where they're trusting in you because you trust Jesus. They will grow to the place where they trust Jesus. But if you're not careful, you're messing that little thing up. Yeah. You're going to mess that up. And then what happens, either they become broken and handicap, and that's how they grow in their ministry, handicap. We're not trying to raise handicap leaders. We're trying to raise healthy leaders. If you raise handicap leaders, guess what? Whatever you're doing, they would not be able to do what they're doing if they raised handicap leaders. They'd still be there cutting the grass, raking the leaves. You think I'm kidding? I know pastors that cut the grass, rake the leaves. Not this one, but I know. Nope, not this one. Why do you think? Look, I grew up in Carroll County, and the concept there was the pastors, they did everything. They did everything. Of course, we didn't last in that church because there's no way I wasn't doing everything. But, I mean, they do everything. They lead the women's ministry. They do children's church. Everything and anything. The congregation could be this big, and they have, like, 15 ministries. So you know what that means. This little circle is doing all of it, all 15 ministries. That's not what God is calling you to do. And if you know who you are in him and not that you are him, you will raise people that this circle will become this. And this, and this, and then you can think about doing this ministry, and that ministry, and this ministry. You don't start ministries because traditionally all churches have them. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't mean it's for you.
Right.
Not at all. Years ago, if we would have thought about having, because you know that real popular in Carroll County is the teas. Right, Karen? Women, the pastor's wives, they love to have these teas, right? If you would have had a tea when we first started, come on now. These people are, I mean, just stopped using drugs yesterday. And you want them to have a tea party? What are you kidding? See, but if you don't know who you are, you will have that tea party and have all these dolphins looking at you like, this is dumb. I ain't coming back here. This is stupid. Because you got to know, they're going to be honest. They're going to be honest and they're going to let you go. Don't go to that church. Them people are crazy. They're trying to make you bougie. Everybody serves a different community, and you need to know who your community. If you want to be real, you need to know who your community is. Stop acting like, look, that's what they did to the Indians. They would come on the Indian reservations, and they would make them do what they wanted them to do in their way and call it Jesus.
Right.
Do you know till today these people still suffering? Still suffering.
Yeah.
And when you say I'm a Christian, oh, they don't want no parts of you. They don't want no parts of you. You have to know who you are in Christ. If you're going to be effective in the ministry that God has for you, you have to know who you are with your limitations. Because there's nothing wrong with being in ministry and having limitations. There's what's wrong is not accepting that you have limitations or not admitting. You can't meet every person's need. You just can't. You can't have everything going on in your church. If you want it to be successful, and there's nothing I'm saying on here for here. Just keep flipping the pages, maybe sooner or later. When I was real young in the ministry, the Women's of Glow had me come out and they asked me to speak. I had not done too much public speaking at that time. And I took my sister-in-law and my daughter with me. And we had this little tiny sprint. Well, I got in the car, threw my stuff in the back. We get to the Glow. I go to grab my Bible, forgot my message. I go in there, they call us. And I said, oh, man, I forgot my message. I tell my daughter, first mistake. I tell my daughter, go look for my message. This is how my kids look. I don't know how your kids look. My kids look like this.
Yeah.
Nope, it ain't there. Every single one of them. There's not a one that will actually look. All 10 of them. This is what I get. My oldest son, he only has one speed. That's first. It's like, ay, Carlito. And I just go get it myself. So They're getting ready to call my name, and my daughter says, it's not there. And I said, it's got to be there, Crystal. It's got to be. She said, Ma, it ain't there. That's to let me know she ain't going back out. So my sister-in-law is there, and my sister-in-law, from the day she got saved, has always been the most happiest person I've ever known in my life. She just loves the Lord, and she is just always, always, no matter what. And she's gone through some stuff, but she's always been, Evelyn, always been perky. So she says, don't worry, Susie. She has this awful accent. Don't worry, Susie. Remember what Tito preached? The word is in your heart. It's gone. And I looked at her and said, girl, if you don't shut up. I did not want to hear that mess. Not at all. So here comes Crystal. She said, I found it, Ma, I found it. I said, thank God. I get up there, I put the paper. I never even used that stupid paper. And I never looked at Evelyn either until it was all done. Because I know she would be... And she's still like that. She is still like that. So standing strong in the way to ministry is understanding that standing is a heart condition.
Yeah.
It's not visual. It's a heart condition. You can't waver. You just have to stand. Mm-hmm. Strong is knowing that you know that you know that you know. Just as he's met your needs, just as he's moved mountains, just as he 3-3 you, he will, the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
But you, if you don't know that and you don't trust that, you're going to get in the way. Because he's trying to do something there, and you're the one that's trying to make it happen. And what happens is we teach them that God is a God that needs assistance. God does not need assistance. He doesn't need any of our help. He did everything that he's going to do without even asking you a question, because you, first of all, don't know how to answer them. Plain and simple. He knew what he was doing. He still knows what he's doing. He's always going to know what he's doing. Do we know what we're doing? That's the part. If you're going to bear the weight of ministry, you must understand who you are in Christ, or it will consume you and it will eat you up.
Yeah.
It will. I'm not going to lie. For those of you who are just starting ministry, I'm not trying to scare you either. But if you if you're not careful,
yeah. Yes.
If you're not careful, it will eat you up, because hurting people hurt people. And when you begin to take it personal, then that begins to build and begins to build. And then the next thing you know, you're the victim. Standing behind the pulpit, you're the victim. No, we're not victims. We have all the tools and we have all the resources to live our lives in victory. I'm not going to lie. Things are going to happen and tears are going to come. It happens. That's part of ministry. But we know that God is in control and that God is the one that's going to take care of it. Just like he's taking care of all of our children, he will take care of all of our spiritual children. We had, when my husband decided to retire, it's like the whole center said, I went upstairs to one of the girls' bedrooms, and the dresser was like this. And I was like, what in the world? So I went to push it. No pushing. I was like, what in the world? The floor was falling. So we had to take out everything from that room, put it in storage. Could not have any girls in the room, so that made it, we only had 2 rooms for girls instead of 3 rooms for girls, which means we can only work with 8 girls. So I said, oh, man. Next thing I know, now this is all like quickly, one thing behind the other. Next thing I know, I get a letter from the county that the basement where we used to house women that graduated the program but chose not to go back home because there's really nothing there for them. And they would relocate in Carroll County. So we had like little studio apartments down there and everything. They shut it down. Mm-hmm. They shut it down. Not only did they shut it down, they told me to tear it apart. So Do I look like a construction worker? I have no idea what I'm doing. Thank God for Robin and Everett's boys, because they're the ones that helped me. I left that alone. I had so many phone calls and so many people. What are you going to do? I said, what can I do? Yeah. I'll just have to leave it alone. I'm not paying for none of that. I don't have the money to pay for any of that. So I just did what they asked, emptied out both places, and left it. Left it for a year. Never thought about it. It's nothing to think about it. I cried out to God. He heard my cry. End of story. I'm not going to keep calling him to ask him, hello, remember the conversation we had about 3 months ago? I just left it alone. Well, the money came in, and the boys from Men of Standard just finished the room this week. And it's beautiful. It really is. If I would have taken matters into my own hands and tried to fix it the way, from my understanding, first of all, it would have been disobedience. Secondly, I would not have known the damage that was really in that room. When they went to take the floor out, and they went, we have plaster walls because our house is like 200 years old. When they went to hit the plaster so that they could make a straight line, all of it had to come out. The room had to be stripped down all the way down to the beams. Yeah. But God provided. God made a way. He made a way with the money. He made a way with the labor. Then I left it alone. And everybody was like, oh, how is it? I don't know why you're so excited now. You should have been excited when it first happened, because then you know that it's something that you're going to be able to watch it, the process. Right. It's something you were going to able to witness. You didn't trust him. You have to trust him. I trusted him. It's done. The basement still looking pretty raw. So there's a company in Westminster. They're called Canoe Breaks. Very big company. So big that they bought property from Carroll County and saved Carroll County out of a mess. So these people have money. So they invited us. Again, with the big dog thing, I'm like, how in the world am I going to meet with these people? I did dressed my best. Went in there with all my stuff I learned in school. I was a business major, not theology. So that's kind of was wasted. So I went in there with my iPad, because I have my PowerPoint. I went in there with my portfolio, went with the whole nine yards, and I'm thinking, they'll probably get us a tractor or something like that. They're doing our basement. Wow. Not only are they doing it, because when they first told me about the basement, he says, you need building permits to rebuild this. I said, okay. Well, what do I do? And they said, you need to get an architect. I said, okay. So I made some phone calls. $10,000! Yeah. There's no way I'm getting an architect. $10,000? Are you kidding? No, that basement will stay looking like that. Mm-mm. Nope. But they have. They've bought an architect. They designed it, and now they're getting ready to build it. It's going to have a media center. It's going to have a larger chapel. It's going to have things that we would have never been able to imagine. I tell you that to tell you that in ministry, you just wait. And be patient. God will meet your needs. God will. I remember when we were young in ministry, we always thought we had to, you know, we needed money, so here's a bake sale. Come on now. You know how much money you really make with a bake sale? Oh, my yard sale, that was one. Oh, yeah, if we have yard sales, we can raise money. We invite other communities, we invite other people. Bring all your junk to our property. Put it on our property, and you can sell it here, and then the proceeds could go to New Life. Yeah, the proceeds and the junk. Yeah. So now I had all this junk that I had to take to the dump that costs you money. So I think he's a better fundraiser. I really do. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times we might have to do our part, too. But when we do it in panic and we do it in fear, it's just a waste of time. It really is. Bake sales, car washes, yard sales, that's for the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. It's not for $250,000 ministry, okay? It's just not. But I've learned over the years that I just have to put it in His hands. Yeah. And I know that He called me here. So because He's called me here, and because He put me here, He's obligated to me.
Yes.
And maybe that might sound arrogant, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth.
You said, come here. I came. Now you're responsible for me. Sometimes things are so simple that we don't, it goes like way past our heads because we're these big-time pastors and big-time directors and big-time, I don't care, call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But sometimes we get so too big for our britches.
That's right.
And we forget. We're not His peer. It's not like a natural relationship where eventually we sit with our adult children and we talk things out and they live their lives and we stay and mind our business. It's not like that. We are always going to be His children. Children always need to learn from their parents. Children need direction from their parents. They need guidance from their parents. They need provision from their parents. We never outgrow that. Not in the kingdom.
No.
Not in the kingdom. So how do you stay strong? And the way to know who you are in ministry. Know who you are in Him. If you know who you are in Him, He can take you anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Sometimes we cry out, you know, God, I want ministry. I want this. I want that. But we're not even sure who we are in Him. I remember when we went to Westminster, it was like, serious? You take two people from the Bronx and put, and the same week that we moved to Westminster, by the way, the same week the KKK had a rally on Main Street. And my husband had an afro back then. So it's like, oh, stay your butt in the car. And he tans. I am serious. That brother Gus walks from the house to the car and he's got a tan. Tan, afro, don't know where we're at, New York accents. We are like ripe for a fight. And it's like, oh, so there were times that we thought we had to help him along the way because it was like, man, he really don't know what he's doing, putting four New Yorkers, well, actually it was five New Yorkers in the middle of Carroll County. And Carroll County in the 80s is not what Carroll County is right now.
Right.
Believe me, it's not the same. But I know, right? We tore it up. It was so country. The only Puerto Ricans there were me and Tito. So we had to fix that. I brought my sister. He brought his sister and brother. Then all Puerto Rican. So now there's a Puerto Rican population, but they're either from the Matos family or, I forgot the name, the Nunez family. But you know what? At the beginning, it was not easy, and it wasn't easy because we really know who we were.
Yeah.
This really is easy. Yeah. Ministry is really easy if you know who you are. Mm. Times can get tough, but the work is easy because you know that you have your limitation. You can only go but so far, and the rest is up to God. If you find yourself going past that, then you need to back it up a little bit.
Yes.
Start reevaluating the things that you're doing. Those of you that are pastors, don't get caught up in trends.
Yes.
Don't get caught up in trends or comparing.
Yes.
You know, this church does this, this church does that. It don't. God bless this church and God bless that church. But what is this church doing?
Yes.
What is God calling us to do? And you would be so surprised. We have a tiny little church. We don't even fill our church. But we take two mission trips a year. And those mission trips cost anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000. And we don't take it from the church budget. God finds a way to make the provision so that we can do the things that He's called us to do.
Yeah.
So you can't look at other churches. Well, if I had this many people in my congregation, and let me tell you something, a lot of our congregation is so young, they don't tithe.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't know. But you know what? We've never had nothing turned off. We've never had final notices. Nothing. Nothing. He's constantly meeting our need because we're doing what He's asking of CRC to do.
Yes.
We're not moving in what God is asking Assembly of God to do. They do whatever they need to do. We're moving what we're doing and not comparing to others. You cannot, it takes away from who your value. It takes away from who you really are. And all of you are awesome. If you gave up everything that you ever had to serve God and to be in ministry, you're about as awesome as they get. You don't need to be compare yourself to nobody. People need to compare themselves to you because you're the example of what it is to step out and what God has called you to do. Don't measure yourself. We're all big dogs. And plain, we're all big dogs. No one's greater than the next. Everybody has different types of ministry. Everybody does different things in ministry. But as long as you understand that this is what God has called you to do, whether this one's doing that or this one's doing that, this is what God has called me to do, then you can bear the weight of ministry. Because I would love to say that there is no weight to bear because we're God's children, but that's not realistic. There is a weight to bear, but he's given us the strength to bear it. But we have to know where we are. We have to know who we are, and we have to allow him to do the work because this is a team. He said, come here, and I'll take care of you, just like he did in Westminster. I'm telling you with all my heart, almost every morning I was like, I'm out of here. These people are crazy. They are nuts. They don't know who. I went into the bank to cash a check, and the lady told me she had to wait 10 days. I said, for what? She said, because this is from Banco Popular. And I'm like, in Manhattan? Like, are you, that's the kind of stuff. I had my daughter do a paper on. I've always had my kids do stuff on Puerto Rico. The music, the culture, the everything. They need to know who they are. She did a paper. The lady told her, no, I'm sorry. And this is the daughter that if she don't have an A, she flip out. She got a bad grade because she put that Puerto Rico was in the Caribbean. And the lady said, no, Puerto Rico's in Central America. So me, the Puerto Rican mother I am. Can I talk to you? That's how backwards. This is what, now we're talking about the Bronx, you know, projects, ripping, roaring, all kind of stuff happening. Carroll County. It was a lot of getting used to. It was a lot of trusting too. Because God, you got to know what you're doing because we sure don't. It was like, people laugh when I say this, but it was culture shock. It was like taking me to another country. Yeah. I'm a diehard city girl. Yep. And Carroll County is Karen. Karen's Carroll County. But he took us through. And because we learned through our mistakes, he produced what he has produced there in Carroll County. It's not nothing that we did. It was what God wanted to happen in Carroll County. And we serve a lot of the forgotten because Carroll County has a lot for Carroll County and the churches are for Carroll Countyans. But for those who've come to run away from whatever they had to leave in the city, there's nobody there for them. So we have no other choice. We have to be who he's made us to be and walk in his in obedience to the call he has on our life to meet the needs of these people. Our church is in the middle of this side is Central America, and then this side is just poor. That's, and our church is right here. But there isn't, unfortunately, there's not a church out there that's going to, or could understand, you know, some of the Central Americans are illegal. So you can't do things typically the way we do. Like, we do outside meetings, because we know that if we did a Friday night service or something, they're not going to come, because they're Catholic. And it's against, they'll go to hell if they come into our building. So we do the service outside and put the speakers really loud. So this way they hear. VBS, our VBS has to be with parents because Hispanic parents are not going to give you their kids. Not for 15 minutes. These women have suffered and had a really hard time journeying to the United States with their kids. They're not giving no gringo their kids for 15 minutes. So our VBSs have to include mothers. See, these are the kind, that's why you can't do anything traditionally VBSs don't include mothers. That's why you can't go traditionally. That's why you have to meet the needs of your people according to whatever it is that God has for you. And you can do it, and you probably all are doing it, but don't lose yourself in it, because that's when the weight becomes unbearable. That monkey turns into cement, and it's hard for you to move to the next step. So don't lose your identity in your ministry. New Life does not identify me. Someday I may walk away from there. Someday I'm going to walk away from there. And I'll still be me.
That's right.
And I'll still serve God. And he'll still have something for me to do.
Right.
Now, all that experience, I'm sure it'll help. But I don't think that it's going. That's where I'm going to die. Can you see me at 85 years old? Ladies, study hall. No, I do not see myself there forever. But I know that as long as I stay true to who he's made me to be and not adapt to anything around me or anyone around me, then I can take the weight of ministry,
yeah,
even at 85.
Amen?
Amen.
Is there any other way?
Oh, no. I could have sugarcoated. Yeah, not me.
Father, we just thank you for New Life for Girls, for Tito and Susie, and the faith you gave them to live in that chicken coop, literally in a chicken coop when they first moved to Carroll County. Thank you, Lord, for the way you blessed the ministry there, Men of Standard. And we just ask you again for a fresh anointing, Lord, that even as they go back, that they'll just be overflowing with the anointing of your Spirit. And I just thank you, Lord, for the ministry, the message that they and Susie's delivered to us. I receive the message.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We receive that word. Stand strong. Know your identity in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.